Blog Talk Radio.
Frank Williams. Hey, thanks guys for tuning in to the show. Those who are listening via my show page live online at Blog Talk Radio, thank you guys for tuning in to the show. And those who are listening via cell phone or landline, thank you guys for tuning in as well. 818-301-5834 is the number to the show. That's where you can call into the show and listen. If you want to just listen to the show, you can just call in and listen live. Or if you want to comment or give your opinion or talk to me, just call the number, press the number 1 on your keypad, and I will put you on the air. 818-301-5834. Now, today's show is being brought to you by our sponsor, CPA on Duty. For all of your tax or accounting needs, call the certified public accounting firm of CPA on Duty. You can reach them at 770-732-0244. Whether you have personal taxes, personal accounting, corporate taxes, corporate accounting, and even IRS issues, the professionals at CPA on Duty can help you with your concerns. Give them a call today. 770-732-0244. And don't forget to mention that the Frank Williams Show sent you. Now, again, thanks you guys for tuning in and welcome. Let's see here. Before we get into the show, right now, we're looking at sunny sunshine and 76 degrees in the ATL. Looking at a high of 89 today, a low of 67 tonight. And on today is Wednesday, right? June 1st. And tomorrow we're looking at a high of 88, low 67 in thunderstorms. Friday, 89, low 67, and partly cloudy. Saturday, 90 and low 68 and partly cloudy. So that's your weather, guys. It looks like it's going to be hot today, hot and sunny. So dress accordingly and take care of yourselves and stay hydrated, please. We're looking at, we're getting into these hot summer months now, especially in Georgia. So take care of yourselves and stay hydrated. Again, keep your body going. All right? Now, today's word of the day is, looks like it's exemplary. Exemplary. E-X-E-M-P-L-A-R-Y. Exemplary is an adjective, and it means deserving imitation, especially because of excellence. Deserving imitation, especially because of excellence. The second meaning is serving as a warning. So deserving imitation, especially because of excellence. Exemplary. That's a lot of times people say she's an exemplary student. And that means that she is deserving imitation from other students because of excellence. So that's a great word, exemplary, for you to put in your vocabulary and work with it. And so do that. All right? Now, let's see. Before we get into the show, I wanted to say a couple of things. I'm going to bring you guys a story on tomorrow about the police in Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio. I'm going to bring you guys a story about the police officers that went on a 22-mile chase, car chase. And once the chase was over, they fired. 13 police officers fired 137 shots into one car, killed two people. I'm going to say that again, killed two unarmed people, and they found the police officer not guilty, okay? So I'm sure you guys are going to be hearing more about that. But this happened in 2012, and the verdict was rendered on yesterday. And so we'll get into that on tomorrow. Today's episode is entitled, Racist Comments About the Gorilla That Was Killed Shows Reporters Racism. Now, I just want to expose the real truth about some reporters that are covering this story about the gorilla that was shot and killed. And I really wasn't going to talk about this, the gorilla thing. But when I saw this story, I had to bring it to you guys. Simply because of the fact that in America, where racism is prevalent, okay? Not like back in the old days or back in the 60s, 50s, and so on, and previously, but right now, 2016. People can't get it out of their system, racism. They just can't get it out of their system, especially towards African-American people. I don't understand why it's so poignant towards African-American people. Why does the racism have to be so poignant towards the African-American people? What did African-American people ever do to anyone, ever, for them to be such a hated race within America? I don't know about other countries or whatever, because I don't live there. I live in America. And that's my whole thing. Even from the killing of a gorilla, you bring in racism against African American people. Now, I want to read you guys this story and then talk about it. Now, before I get into the story, I get it. The kid should not have been in a position to get into the, you're at the zoo. This is my thing, okay? You're at the zoo now. You're not at the circus. You're at the zoo. You're looking at wild animals. They used to seeing people, okay? They are. They're used to seeing people because people come to see them every day. And sometimes, I know you've been to the zoo, and sometimes you're like, oh, man, the gorilla, the chimpanzees, or the baboons are not even out. And you're like, how do we get the baboons to come out? How do we get the gorillas to come out of here and so we can see them? All I've seen is TV stuff. And then all of a sudden they appear or whatever. And they sitting there and they're looking at you just like you're looking at them. You're like, look at this fool right here. This is the gorilla talking. Look at this fool right here. And then you as a parent, or you as a parent, you've got your kid at the zoo, and you're at an open exhibit, okay? And I'm talking about in Cincinnati at this zoo, at the open exhibit, and you're looking down into the exhibit, and it's far down because they want to make it where the gorilla can't get out. Okay? So it's far down below you so the gorilla can't get out. And if they don't want him to get out, that means they don't want you to get in. Right? If they don't want the gorilla to get out of the exhibit, they definitely don't want you to get in to the exhibit. And you know, for that reason, you have to keep your kids secure. And I think because of this incident, they're looking at better ways of securing these exhibits. You know, maybe a higher fence, or maybe a electric fence that'll shock your ass if you try to go over it. So, but the kid was somehow, we don't know the details about how the kid got into the exhibit. All we saw was someone who shot video after the kid had gotten into the exhibit. okay? And the kid was in the water. And the gorilla, of course, came into the water or was already in the water or whatever. And he's standing over the kid, pushing him around, this and that, this and that. And at one time, he was over the kid. You couldn't see the kid, but you could hear the kid crying. And you could hear the mom up in the audience or whatever saying, "I'm here, baby. I'm here. Just hang on. I'm here, baby. Just hang on." Damn that, mama. You better get your ass over in that exhibit. You better try to distract this gorilla so he won't hurt your baby. I mean, I was talking earlier. I was saying that, man, that was my child, one of my kids. I'd have been telling someone, hey, once I get over into this damn exhibit, you throw me a damn a pipe or a wrench or a hammer or something where I can knock the hell out of this gorilla if he come after me. But I need to get my kid. I don't want to see my kid or watch my kid get killed by a gorilla. I don't want to watch it by anything. But if my kid fell into that thing, that exhibit, I would have gone in after him. Okay? Now, the zoo, once the zoo found out about it, once they, you know, made the 911 calls or whatever to the zoo, once they found out the kid had gotten over into the exhibit, they had to make quick decisions. Do we shoot the gorilla? Do we tranquilize the gorilla? Do we try to get in there and distract the gorilla and get the kid out? Well, they don't want to put themselves into a compromising position by getting into the exhibit and possibly the gorilla attacking them. But I think that if they had, I asked the question, why didn't they tranquilize the gorilla? Well, if they had tranquilized the gorilla and they had shot him with a tranquilizer gun, probably when that gun popped and that tranquilizer hit that gorilla wherever, side, feet, nails, shoulders, leg, whatever, he might have gone ape crazy and threw that kid somewhere or something and killed the kid. But that would have been a dead kid and a tranquilized gorilla that's going to wake up after a while and not know what happened and still be living, still going with his life in the zoo. We can shoot this gorilla and kill him, one shot and kill him, and get the kid out and have one less gorilla at this exhibit. 400 and something pound gorilla. Probably a 30 something pound, 40, 50 pound. This guy was 4 years old, so he's probably 40, 50 pound. Little boy. Okay? So they did kill the gorilla, and they saved the little boy. They took him to the hospital, and he was released later on that day with probably scratches. Okay? But we got a dead gorilla. Now, we come out, and the next day, next couple of days, here's the article that was written. This article says, racism has found its way into the Cincinnati Zoo saga. As you likely heard on this post on this past Saturday, a four-year-old boy fell into the gorilla habitat at the Cincinnati Zoo. A gut-wrenching decision was made by the zoo to shoot and kill the gorilla to protect the boy and rescue him from the habitat. The fallout over the incident has taken a decidedly racist turn as the public has now discovered that the boy and his parents are black. Laura Collins in Cincinnati, writing for the Daily Mail, published an absolutely despicable piece on the young boy's parents, including every detail of his father's criminal history. Let's stop right there. I mean, what in the hell does his father's criminal history to do with the little boy falling into the gorilla habitat and then them having to kill the gorilla to get the little boy out? What does his criminal history have to do with that? Absolutely nothing. Why look into his parents' criminal history? What does that have to do with anything? And so it says the actual day and headline for her piece was all about how the young boy's father, Deion Dickerson, had committed crimes before. Buried deep in the story was the fact that he is gainfully employed and appeared to be a loving father from the myriad of photos found on him. The story, a hit job on Dickerson, has already been shared over 26,000 times on Facebook. Their tweet about his criminal history was one of their most popular of the day yesterday. What Laura Collins and the Daily Mail failed to share is that it does not appear that the boy's father was even at the zoo with his family on Saturday. Why then mention him at all? Why name him? Why spell out every mistake this man has ever made if he wasn't even at the zoo when this happened? Even if he was there, do you sincerely think anyone would be talking about his criminal history if he was white? Think about that. Even if he was there, do you sincerely think anyone would be talking about his criminal history if he was white? And this guy says, I don't. He said, check this out. Last year, a child fell into the cheetah exhibit at the Cleveland Zoo. The child and his parents were never identified. Why not? Why not? A leopard mauled a young child who scaled a fence at the Kansas Zoo. Not a single report mentioned the criminal history of anyone involved. In 2014, two jaguars mauled a toddler who fell into the jaguar exhibit of the Little Rock Zoo. The child's identity, the identity of his parents, and their criminal history was never mentioned. 15 years ago, a child fell into another gorilla exhibit and was rescued. The criminal history of the parents was never mentioned. At the Pittsburgh Zoo, a child lunged from his mother's arms into the African spotted dog exhibit and was mauled to death. The zoo actually settled a wrongful death suit with the family. But this reporter says, I searched all morning to see if any media outlets mentioned the criminal history of the family. They didn't. A tiger at the San Francisco Zoo mauled a 17-year-old boy to death. A drunk family member was witnessed taunting the tiger beforehand. The zoo settled with the family. Again, not a single story was written on the criminal history of anybody in that young man's family. Did anyone in the media even think to search the criminal histories of these families? It sure doesn't look like it, and that's a good thing. It's irrelevant. So why in the world is the criminal history of this young boy's father in Cincinnati being spread all over the world, other than the possibility that racists saw an opportunity to do what racists do? Even if the young boy's father was there, is the suggestion that he had criminal intent by allowing his son, who he has shown doting on all over social media, fall through the enclosure? People often ask why guys like me make everything racial, as if we made the system this way. We didn't. Race and racism are obviously deeply entrenched in this ugly world, and stories like this are required to fight back against it. This young family could have lost their son. They experienced the same type of accident that white families have experienced for decades. But instead of being shown mercy or compassion, they're now enduring unthinkable attacks on their character. Before I close out the show, I want to say a couple of things. I understand people's thinking about this gorilla and whatever, being compassionate toward the gorilla. I understand that. I think they did the right thing by killing the gorilla to save a human being's life. I'm not discounting the gorilla's life at all. It wasn't his fault the young boy jumped over into the exhibit. But he could have easily killed a kid. 4-year-old kid fighting with a 400-pound gorilla. No match. But to this thing about the parents, the daddy is black, but the mama, guess what? She's a white woman. Black daddy, white mama. So they consider this kid to be black. Consider this family to be a black family. So once, you know, to say again, once a white woman or a white man marry a black woman or a black man, they can't be considered a white family. They're not even considered a mixed family. They're considered a black family. And they have kids. The kids are not considered as white kids. Then how are they considered black kids? They're not all black. They're not all white. They're mixed. So why does America consider them a black family? Why does America consider this kid a black kid? Why? Because America is so hung up on race. They so hung up with the African American people that it's sickening to grow up in a place that's supposed to be the home of the brave, home of the free, but it's definitely not. And we wonder why other countries hate our guts. I think that's a big part of it, is the way America treats their citizens. Hey guys, that's all I have today. This is Frank Williams, and Let's see if I could put something on that would. I mean, just how many times do we have to go through this? Time and time again. Take care of yourselves, guys. This Frank. I'll see you guys in about 23 and a half hours. This Frank. I'm over and I'm out. Have a great day.
Hello, this is Angela. I'm sorry I'm unable to answer this call right now. So please, at the sound of the beep, leave your name and number, and I will contact you as soon as possible.
I love you there, baby. It just ain't right the way you treat me. I just wish that this would open up and try to stand on my view. Unless you.
Call me up,
I'm
out
to
girl,
baby.
Like a two-down sound.
Like a two-down.
phone.